We're rolling
okay.
digital tape.
All right, roll tape.
Jack Rhodes says Jimmy Doan is the best.
What does Jack Rhodes know? Who the hell is he? He's not even here today.
He's a vaporous apparition.
Boy, I'll tell you, we should, yeah. I got that mojo. Here it is, the Jimmy Doan Show once again. You lucky guys out there, and everybody, you lucky listeners. We have another show. I got that mojo. Oh, it's about the middle of November now. What is today? 17th. And got some new things to talk about. Yeah. We want to say hello to women. We have people to say hello to. Who do we say hello to?
We had some actual repeat listeners.
Oh, a lot. We had a ton. We had a ton.
Really?
Virginia Beach, as usual, is our usual. Want to say hello to Las Vegas.
Ooh.
People gambling, people who are drunk.
Hey, I was just out there.
Yeah, did you give somebody a card?
Maybe.
Must have had a good time. All right.
Must have been. We got Texas. Nolanville, Texas. Tavares, Florida. That's good. Canada. Hey, Canada. We got some people up in Canada.
Beauty,
Canada. Hi, Canada. Hey. Now we got some stuff to talk about today. It's going to be a good show. Not too much national news, except what was it about? I want to talk a little bit about education today. Valerie Plame thing, we want to mention that, the news on that. Arrests in Austria, get a mistake, and then a little bit about terminally ill people, which is a big deal. I'm not going to talk today about the Social Security, Medicare, or anything like that, I don't think, at this point. Okay, so anyway, here we are. We've got Curtis is here with us.
Hey!
Good to see you, and Engineer Eric.
Firmly bolted in.
Firmly bolted in, good. It's a great day here in Florida. Got a little nippy tonight. A little nippy last
night. It's perfect.
I think it's perfect. It's supposed to go down into the 40s. You don't like it, do you, Curtis?
Heck no.
You. This is why. Think about our friend up in Canada. He's sitting in 8 feet of snow, eh?
Our insane friend.
Yeah, that's right.
Nobody should live above the 30th parallel, as far as I'm concerned.
Well,
the only reason that the migration hasn't completed itself yet is because it's only been 60 years since Carrier invented air conditioning.
That's true. That's true. We do get 300. Somebody mentioned that on the average we have 348 people a day move to Florida. Hmm. And they're wondering why this place is filling up. And, of course, they all live on the coast. Of course, half of them got blown away. Although I was down in Naples. Did I tell you this? I was down in Naples.
No, when were you down there?
I was down there this last weekend. I went down to Naples and saw the FEMA farms.
The devastation. Well, oh, you saw the FEMA farms?
I saw the FEMA farms. The devastation was unbelievable down in Naples. They had these huge mango trees with like 50 and 100 foot roots, and they just tipped over like.
The ones that dropped the roots down?
Yes, those.
Yeah, you know, I was just in Miami last week.
Yeah.
And I saw exactly the same thing.
All tipped over. I mean,
amazing. I would have thought those
would have stayed. I mean, because they put down, those are those trees that like.
Drop roots.
I mean, they start off with branches and then they drop the roots instead of the other way around. They're like upside down trees.
Apparently, they're like big sails in the hurricane. Mm.
I guess they are. And of course, in Naples, of course, the property values, I was checking around there in the last 4 years, the property values are like tripled or quadrupled. I mean, a house that was like $200,000, like $1 million today, and now the tree is gone. And property values didn't go down a bit. I was down there. But I thought it was one of the things that I did see, of course, besides the coming back from there, I saw a couple of the lamps, what do you call it, on the highway, twisted. Like
oh,
a
really?
Yeah. I mean, this is a pole that's, you know, a foot in diameter, whatever, aerodynamically designed. But
I saw a few steel girders twisted up.
Twisted up. And then, as I say, I saw these FEMAvilles, which are the little trailers or trailerettes, and they're just stacked. You know, they're
look like a big tailgate party.
Well, except that they're all in the same kind of thing.
Right.
I mean, and there's like maybe 500 of them in this huge field.
Really?
And there's only like two or three people living there so far. I don't know. This I was reading in the paper, for instance, that they had, I don't know, over in the Gulf Coast. Now, I'm talking about Florida, of course, and rich people live in Florida. And, of course, we have Jeb Bush, brother of the president, so we have a little more people care more about what's happening in Florida than they do in Louisiana, which is still probably. So anyway, the point is that they said they had, I don't know, 10,000 of these little homette things. These little, they're kind of like trailers.
It's like an Aerostream trailer?
No, well, yeah, except it's made out of wood, number one.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
And it looks like it's made out of wood. Maybe it's aluminum. But it looks like a little square rectangular house.
It's kind of like a portable building that you have at
exactly.
school?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. That's exactly what they look
okay.
like. They look like the portable building that you have at school. It's on wheels,
right.
obviously. And they have like 500 of them in this field up there. And there's like four people living there. I was reading a report that said they had 10,000 of these scattered all over Mississippi, Louisiana, whatever. And 87 people so far had qualified. I mean, think about it. I mean, and that now what they're doing is they're having...
What do you have to bring them, a PC or home?
And it's best, of course, if you're impaled on it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you actually have a piece of formica from your kitchen stuck through your arm, this allows you. Except that the guy in front of you
gets a level 2.
Yeah, that's a level 2, and then of course the guy in back of the guy in front of you's got a piece of his front door stuck through his torso. That's level 1, so he gets to go ahead of you. But I don't know. This typical government. I guess it's kind of like the DMV. I mean, these are motor vehicles. Well, they're not motorized, but they're vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, how long do you wait for your tag when you go to line? I guess this is the same kind of thing, and you have to qualify.
I guess they're braced for the criticism that they're giving away cash to every comer.
That's true, and they are. They are, and of course, what else is new? I mean, we do have on our website now the picture of the new Alaska Bridge, right?
Yes.
It's good. We did put that up. We wanted everybody to know.
It's on the cartoons page.
Is it on the cartoons page?
Yeah.
The
Bridge
picture,
to Nowhere.
Bridge to Nowhere. This is what, $220 million. Come to Alaska. Mm-hmm. See $220 million of your tax dollars in action.
Yeah, that's a classic shot. You need to check that out.
Well, so anyway, I passed by the FEMAvilles, and they were unoccupied. And I don't know to what extent, you know, I saw still a lot of the blue tarps from last year. But Naples they had some fair destruction. Of course, Naples is like super rich place. So anyway, I'm coming back. The other thing that I noticed, though, coming back was almost as many of the bus type RVs for sale. These are the big ones.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
They're the big 50-footers.
Well, that's right. And they're
for sale what? In temporary?
No. RV, you know, Mr. RV is open for business.
RV Land.
RV Land.
Right.
There were two or three of them on the way back from South Florida when I was coming back up I-75. And there are like acres of these things for sale. I mean,
they're hundreds of thousands of dollars,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. They start at like $150. The ones that I saw. These are not the Airstreams. They're not the fifth wheels.
Right.
And these are
Winnebago.
They're not the Winnebagos. No, these are the
industrial
ones
touring quality.
Right. They're not exactly like a Greyhound bus, which has been converted, but they're
ex-Leonard Skinner tour bus.
They look like tour buses.
Right.
That's right. They look like tour buses. And they are, and there must have been...
With groupies.
You know, well, it's funny.
We tried to clean them out, and they just won't leave.
It's a 3-bed, but you only get 2 beds.
What I find, of course, we're coming into the Florida season now that hurricane season is just about, is technically going to be over in a couple of days. Actually, for all intents and purposes, I think it's over. But although we did get up to Gamma, didn't we, this year?
Yep.
The point is that what you see coming down to Florida, coming down I-75 now, are these people that have bought these monster $250,000 RVs, because they certainly don't want to pay $100 a night for a room when they can have a 200. Okay, and they're towing in back of their Lexus.
Right.
So
sounds good to me.
So where's the moral of the story here?
The moral of the story is the following. It is the dichotomy, and I'm glad you asked that question. Very good. Was to see the FEMAvilles empty and to see the $250,000 homettes, mobile, really RVs. Now, we're not mobile for sale that are going to be sold. These are not FEMAs. They're actually out there. I mean, they wouldn't be down here unless they're going to be sold in the next 90 days. Somebody, they're going to be at least.
Sure, if I had a $500,000 or $1 million home on the coast over there and it got blown in, I wouldn't want to stay in a FEMAville. If I've got $5 million in the bank, you go down, you buy yourself a $250,000 tour bus, and you and your family go on a little family vacation around the East or something.
That's I can believe that. However, my guess is that person that has that home in Naples, that's their recreational home. their real home is in Paris or in, is in Cape Cap d'Antilles.
So what you're saying is
did your home get blown away?
which one was it? Which one got blown away this time? I say.
I lost two homes, Mississippi.
You were lucky.
You were lucky.
That's right. That, and those of you for the that don't know, that comes from the most famous 3 minutes and 28 seconds of ever produced by Monty Python live. If you get a chance,
all hail Monty Python.
Yes. What you do is you go down to your video store and you rent Live at the Hollywood Bowl, and I think it's about 30 minutes into it, as I recall. Right. About 30 or 35 minutes, maybe a little further than that.
What's the actual name of the skit? Do you remember?
Yes, it's called The Yorkshiremen.
Uh-huh.
And it is four guys who are obviously made it, and they talk about how poor they were. This is hysterical.
It's just tough it was.
How tough it was, that's right. So anyway, that was our little reference. So anyway, the my point on this, to get back on track here, get back on point, was to tell you that the FEMAville, yes, okay, unoccupied, and yet the there are going to be at least 1,000 new owners of these $250,000 homes. These are they talk about the rich people, or as if every time you pick up the paper, they talk about rich people as if there are like five in the world. You know, there's Bill Gates, there's Warren Buffett,
a couple of sheiks,
and maybe a guy in Hong Kong. That's it. Everybody else is poor. We're talking poor here. The broke, and the poverty level,
and
the children are starving, and their tongues hanging out, and the whole nine yards in the United States, and it's the worst economy in 50 years. And on and on. It is amazing to me to hear how bad the economy. And then you go down and you see acres and acres of these RVs. Forget the fact that in your town, dear listener, if you go out Automobile Row, every town that I know of has got a street that is just like where all the automobile. And you go down there, count the new cars that are for sale. Average price, what, $20,000,
$25,000? Yeah, that always amazes me. I always wonder who buys a new car.
Yeah, well, that's for openers who buys a new car. So these guys are idiots, but they got money. At least, let me put it this way. They have down payment and $500 a month.
Right.
And those cars are all going to be sold in 90 days. In 30 days. Those, I think the carrying, what do you call it, the carrying charge, or the way they, floor planning, they call it, is usually for 30 to 60 days, I think, in a...
In a new car lot.
Mm. Yeah, and I tell you...
So is your point that the rich are getting richer, the poor getting
poor? I'm saying there are no poor people. That's my point, is that there are no poor people.
Everyone said, thanks, FEMAville, no thanks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Think about it. I mean, we think about it. That where are these people? Of course, FEMA has put them up in these nice hotels. So why would they want to go and actually, when they get maid service? Think about it. They have maid service.
Well, they're not going to have a choice, though. Somebody's going to come to the door and say, give us your key.
That, and in fact, you wait to see. I think that FEMA has arbitrarily, if I'm not mistaken, set a deadline of like December 1st, or else it's Christmas Eve that everybody has to be out. I think that's.
I think what's interesting about it is that it shows that there's a free market solution potentially.
Oh, no question, no question. There's a of course the whole thing was brought on. This whole thing was brought on by a non-market problem, and that is. That the state of Florida, because no private insurance company worth their salt would insure your multi-million-dollar home sitting out on the sand beaches of coastal Florida, because the insurance company people here are thinking to themselves, now let me think, this is Florida. Hey, Florida, and this is where people don't know how to punch out a Chad. And if you think I'm going to write insurance for some idiot on the coast, you're nuts. And what happens? The state, in its infinite wisdom, the 120 Solons in Tallahassee said, "Oh, we'll do that. No problem, and we'll make it cheap." And in fact, all you people in Orlando that aren't going to get blowed over, and all you people in Gainesville and the Central, you get to pay for this guy's insurance. And if his house gets blowed over, we're going to raise your rates so that he can build his house back. I mean, the only people that would insure it is the government. With my money.
Well, everybody's got this mentality that insurance is so necessary that the government has to provide it.
Well, I mean, the point is that if they didn't provide it, A, the people, only the people that could afford to have their house blowed down, like the three pigs, would live on the beach.
Right.
And, or they wouldn't build, or they would build a structure that was
hurricane proof.
Or they would build one that was guaranteed to blow away, but would only cost $50.
It's a blow up.
That's right.
It's a blow up house.
It's a blow up. No, it is.
How we deflated and moved into the coast.
That's right.
It's like an inflatable tiki butt.
That's right. I mean, you would think that, or else they would all be these $250,000 RVs that, if the storm comes, you go home.
Right.
You drive
back, unfold your house.
That's it. Yeah. So my point is that the problem was caused by the state, and the state, of course,
they're prolonging
as they always do, and they claim they're doing a good. And of course, the other thing that they want to do in order to prolong it is they have down here the gouging rules.
Yeah.
And our friend, and so what they say is, if you want to bring plywood down there, which, of course, there is no plywood because everybody's using it, or whatever, or shingles or anything else. If I wanted to do it, I'm not allowed to make any money at it. In other words, I have to lose money if I buy
That's
shingles.
Stall the recovery.
Well, in fact, you can look down there and see all of the places that from last year, thank you, some 13, 14 months ago, that are still not put back together again because it doesn't pay anybody. I mean, there's a lot, especially in Naples. I mean, I saw this lady, for instance, down there that had one of her trees tipped over. And she paid $2,000 to have somebody come up and put it back up again.
Mm-hmm.
And FEMA comes along and notices that it's a little bit tipped because it hadn't grown back into the ground yet. I mean, it's only been like a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
And they put a big X on it. You know, this is like the blood on the whatever it is in the
on the doors.
On the doors, right. And the tree is condemned.
That's probably because if the tree falls on anybody, they can sue FEMA or something crazy.
Well, I don't know. But the thing is, it didn't hurt anybody. The tree was fine. She put it back up. And these particular trees, like a lot of them, if you do put them back up, they'll grow back. It's not a problem. So she was out there with her auto sander, you know, sanding on the X. She's trying to turn it into X loves Y thing because they were literally FEMA was coming through like Paul Bunyan, for God's sakes, and if there was an X on it, whacko, it's gone. And there was piles.
That's what Miami looked like. All of the leaves were gone off all the trees.
Yeah. Yeah.
As if it was fall down there.
Well, the other thing that I talked to some of the people down there about this, the thing that they were most upset about was that a lot of these trees are 50 and 60 years old, and they had shade. They had these huge picture windows, and if it wasn't for the tree, the house would be burned to a crisp. I mean, it was like, you know, they have because of the sun down there. And now with the tree gone, this blazing sun is coming in and bleaching everything out in sight.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got to get everything else. But again, it doesn't matter. People down in Naples, they're all just filthy rich anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Hello, Naples. Okay.
Oh, look, it blazed out the grand piano.
Oh, look at that. It's a complete pile of ash.
Henrietta, call the insurance company. That's what I say. Yeah, that's right. So it is fascinating to talk that once again, there was a non-market problem, and it is being compounded by a non-market solution, and we could just sit here and solve it all with the market plus and minus the whole deal.
Yep.
So anyway,
let it flow.
Let it flow. That's right. Well, people, it is phenomenal to me. And I was watching this downtown the other day. The five people on our commissions, the people up in, they don't trust, for some reason, they think, A, they're smarter than the market, and B, they don't trust the market. To me, it's like, how do you not trust the weather? I mean, what are you going to do about it? The market is natural. It's nature. It's what happens. And to think that it is such a, the hubris, the arrogance, the conceit to think that you're going to change it is mind-boggling.
It is mind-boggling.
It is just, when it doesn't work, they just do it all over again. I mean, this is the definition of insanity.
Yep. Really? And they'll even try the exact same solution.
Or expand it.
Right.
You know, I'm going to talk a little bit about it. I'm going to talk about this exact thing. I'm going to segue into
Economics in One Lesson. That's
exactly right. You need to read the book called Economics in One Lesson. I think it's on our website.
Yes.
Yep.
By Henry Hazlitt. When I was down in Naples. I was speaking with a fellow, met some very, compadres, skin under the sole. What do you call it? Buddies. There's a pithy little
amigos.
Yeah, amigos. Yes, los tres amigos. That thought the way I did. Two of them, especially, and they had read economics in one lesson.
Ooh.
And yes, surprisingly, easy read. Easy read. And everybody should read that in order to get
it's
the most
like
out of it.
90 pages or something.
Yeah, I think it is. The new they have an updated version that I think is 125 pages.
Ooh.
Or something. But it's updated as well. And I think it has a foreword by Milton Friedman or something. Anyway, speaking of that sort of thing and the market stuff, one of the things that has come to the fore just recently in the last couple of days has had to do with education. And of course, as we know, the education is essentially a government-run monopoly, for all intents and purposes. The only thing that even remotely keeps it in check is that about 10% of around 10% of the schools are privately run. But even those are subject to inspection, unannounced inspection by the authorities. You can walk in there and
watch you beating all your kids.
Well, that's right, and they can make sure that you've got the right kinds of books.
Right.
The right kinds of beating tools.
That's right. That's right. And but when you see what happens in the government-run schools, I guess you saw where yet another woman has been arrested for molesting her
students.
Yeah, but well, of course, it's the girl that's no, it's the girl that was arrested for molesting the guys. I never quite. No, I think on his part it would have been.
Yeah. Well, she's really ugly. Could have been.
Well, they had it. They had a picture of her.
Yeah,
and she wasn't that ugly. The one that the current one. Again, there's four or five of them here just recently that they really started cracking down on this. They said in the past that the guys who molest their girl charges are pedophiles or whatever.
Put to death.
They're both. Oh, yeah. They're all pedophiles at this point.
No. Well, they may. Well, they mean legally. No, they
legally. Yeah, that's what's happened is they've concluded that there's this age that if you're under, it's a no-no, and if you're over, it's all right.
One of the people, I think one of the ladies who was 28 or something, was fooling around with some guy 14, and he turned 15. They got married.
Right.
And that, but I don't think
in Georgia, because she was pregnant. And in Georgia, if the female is pregnant, they actually waive the
age requirements.
But they actually ended up rescinding on that case, and
yeah,
they arrested her, and now she's going to be charged.
Yeah.
Even though it was on the books that it was legal if she was pregnant or
this
whatever.
This is a Frederick Bastiat problem. They've decided that there's an age and that under the age it's immoral and over the age it's okay. And they're not taking it on a case-by-case basis anymore. They've taken the judging capacity away from the judge. And
I think it is, but what you said is so funny because you can sit there. I could just imagine. Here's the girl that's 17 years of 364 days, and she goes out to a party, and she waits until midnight. But of course, I guess it's midnight local time too, isn't it? I mean, you can't
Greenwich Mean Time.
Yeah, I mean, you can't say, well, it was midnight in England.
Well, I thought I was in England.
I was so wasted. I was making the pub.
Well, I think about here in Florida, for instance, we've had this problem before. There is a time shift between Bluntstown and Bristol here in Florida. It's in the middle of nowhere. These towns are like 7 miles apart. And it changes. So you could, so here you are in Bluntstown at just before midnight, and you race across, and you have to drive down to Bristol to get laid. But guess what? You're still 17. That's it. Boom, done. You're in jail forever.
Yeah, that's the way that it goes. It's really ridiculous.
Well, they said the thinking, of course, is that even though it is a age thing, that the reasons are different. I mean, the girl, the woman is not raping this guy. I mean, she's looking for love in all the wrong places.
They call it rape.
They may. I know they do. But
which is a crime against the real rape victims, you know, in my opinion.
Right. Well, this is,
because now there's going to be a whole bunch of people out there who've been charged and convicted of quote-unquote rape. Who are relatively normal people.
Right.
And then people are going to be acclimated to them.
Well, also aren't, do they come under the, what we talked about in the last show, do they come under the Sexual Predator Act?
Absolutely.
So in other words, for the rest of their life, they have to be 1,000 feet from a school or any place?
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
And
Now let me ask you this. Does the 14-year-old, is the 14-year-old boy is the victim, right? He's not a sexual predator, is he?
No.
He's juvenile, of course, so.
Right.
So that, does
but
it?
He hasn't broken any laws unless.
Unless he raped her.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, no, yeah. He, you know, that's, I mean, I suppose.
Well, if she complained of that, then yeah. But if it was a consensual encounter, which is what we're assuming.
He raped me 53 times.
Right. Well, we took a break after like 25.
Yeah, right. And I tried to get away, but I was really tired.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right. So, anyway, that's the deal with that. So,
But my point is that the thing about the education, and again, we're talking about this is the government-run school. They don't understand that so many things have changed with the technology. They're not keeping up. I was exactly in this same vein. We had a death this week, which was Peter Drucker. Now, a lot of people don't know who Peter Drucker was. He died at the age of 92. He died just this last week. And he was a premier management guru for 70, 80 years. He was the one that went to Japan and taught them how to make Japanese cars that ate our lunch. I mean, seriously, he was the guy that
bastard.
Yeah, well, no, but he did.
Wasn't he the just-in-time guy?
He was the just-in-time guy, but there were so many other things that he was very prolific. He wrote for years and years and years. And his one thing was, he said, if the United States loses its leadership role, of course, there's a certain inertia that goes along, it's going to be because of the education system. He said that the current model for education of huge schools and he's talking specifically about K-12, and he says that's a dinosaur. He said, and this is a guy who's an absolute genius in management, and he said, if you think that you're going to be able to maintain that model of the current K-12 classrooms, kids go bus, so forth and so on, in this day and age with the internet and the way things are coming along, he says you're going to be a third world country in your lifetime. And I think that this is coming from a guy, and I have said this for years, that these schools that they put together, they are wishing it was so, is what they do. They wish that things, and they act as though their wishes are reality. And it goes to, for instance, here locally, that they want one side of town to be, it is deteriorating. It has deteriorated for as long as I've been here, 50 years, and they won't give it up. They don't realize the demographics. They don't appreciate that the town is moving west. And they refused, not that it would solve that much, but instead of building the schools out west where the people are, they keep the old ones. We talked about it. And they add porta buildings like the FEMAvilles on to the schools to keep. There's no education. And then they still are looking at a 30% failure rate across the board. I mean, by their own admission, I was reading that the report to the Alachua County, citizens of Alachua County, if you read this thing, the report was that if you are Hispanic and you are in the 10th grade, 50% of you are not at reading and not able to read, actually.
Hmm.
That's just that simple. Half. That's failure in
anybody.
Can
they read Spanish?
This I do not know. This I do not know. Can they read Latin and Greek and everything? I doubt it. And who cares?
Can they read Nubian?
Can they read Nubian?
I can bet you that no one else has a Nubian hyperdrive here.
Nubian sounded a lot like English to me.
You think?
Yeah.
It, you know, could be. Maybe it's a dialect.
Well, I'll tell you, what you're illustrating here is, of course, that they're trying to control the hurricane. America has bought into the idea that schools are too important not to be run by the government, same as insurance companies.
Right.
And they're allowing, and they're saying, well, and they've just turned over control to the central government, who continues to get it wrong because, as we believe, the market is smarter because it's divided among really smart individuals instead of
right.
conglomerated into an elected official.
Even if they're right, of course, even if these people are all Einsteins, which hard to believe, when they get it wrong, it affects, here in Lateral County, 25,000 people at a time.
And there's no self-check.
That's the main thing. That, you know, you've hit the nail on the head. There is no and in fact, there's a negative check in a way, because what's happened is you have an educated establishment. That is, you have a superset, as it were, of people that were educated in education schools, if you get my drift. They're not in other words, they didn't take history or science or they took education. And that's that they are their own separate guild, so to speak. And in fact, no, they are the education.
Well, it is a compounding issue. I mean,
the educators are in charge, and of course, they consider themselves professionals, and so they are their own little group, and they can't get fired. Of course, they have their own union. So, as I mentioned in one of the shows, it takes 3 years to get rid of an incompetent teacher, unless you happen to go to bed with one of your students. I think that you can probably get rid of them in just a year or two on that.
Well, the government is a self-feeding machine, and it's feeding on us, and it's got the guns, and there's no stopping it.
And there's no way to measure. There's no real way to measure. But as I say, what's interesting is that they try, even by their own fallacious measure, they fail.
Right.
Literally, they, and it's interesting because the way they do it is, it turns out that if you're a category one, that's the worst, and they go down to category five, different from hurricanes. And you would expect.
I'm surprised they don't have it the other way around, so that the bottom could just keep getting worse.
No, good. Well, I think what they probably do is to go into negative numbers. Zero.
Well, but they don't, I'm not sure that they understand about negative numbers.
That's true.
Government-run schools.
That's true.
Well,
obviously,
if there's 90% of the schools run by the government, 10% run free.
Mm-hmm.
In our opinion, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, what they should do is start selling off the universities. If they're so valuable, start at the top, sell off the highest education stuff.
I want to apologize before anybody gets me. He was, Drucker was, but he specifically also mentioned the universities. He says they're total dinosaurs. He says the more they build, the worse they're going to be. And they just announced a brand new building program for the University of Florida.
This university has been building.
It's empire building from the ground up.
Yeah.
Literally from the ground up. They have decided that they're going to expand the University of Florida.
There has never not been construction on this.
No, campus. No, that's right. That's right. There has never not been. That's exactly right. Well, when I came to Florida, there were only two universities, and now there's, what, nine or something? I mean,
at least.
Yeah.
Well, everybody's decided, again, that it's too important, so the government has to provide for it. It's this crazy mentality. What they don't understand is that not only is it too important for you not to have insurance, it's too important for you not to have education, it's too important for you not to have all the different things.
Well, it's too important, certainly, not to have a $200 seat for your kid in the back seat of your car.
Right. Everything. Food. And so the point is that since it's too important for you not to have all those things, only the individual can make that choice.
Well, they've limited those choices rather dramatically.
Healthcare.
Oh, boy. Don't get started. We're going to have to have a special healthcare alert, because they're just, as I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was just this week, the Medicare plans kicked in. The ones they just passed, it was just like yesterday or the day before.
Yeah, more and more people are deciding that government should run healthcare as well.
Well, it was interesting. The complaints were there were too many choices and they didn't know which one. They went to one thing and there was 40 different plans that all the Pfizer, but the different healthcare providers showed up and they said they tried to give you a matrix. If you are this old and this sick and you take this pill and you go to this pharmacy, then you've got these five plans and they'll cost this much money in your copay and so forth. So, and of course, here's some doddering old lady, 85 years old,
solve this calculus problem.
Solve this, exactly. Solve this, right. That's right.
To help you, Granny.
Here's your last pill.
This is the blue round dispenser.
That's right. Now we get a couple of samurai guys over here to take care of those things.
Well, of course, they won't even give them the good drugs.
And isn't that the truth? That sucks. They, you know, when they, and they talk about that. I mean, you, go ahead.
Actually, we've got a whole point to talk about that.
Right,
in a
yeah, because
that's
they were,
what I was.
Right. I wanted to.
I was thinking. Are you done with the education?
Yeah, yeah, I'm done. You want to talk about the terminally ill? Is that what, is that the segue you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
This was the there was a very extensive article. Is that that person is not terminally ill anymore. I believe that counts as terminal without the ill. Yep, I believe that's a dead person.
That's dog food.
That's right. That's right. A little worm meat. Okay.
Yeah, anytime you get a sound effect ready, if you just give us a sign or something, we'll pause for a second. Or if you want to cue us, mm-hmm. you know, give us a hand or something, and we'll look over. And then if you cue us, we'll know. Exactly
we'll put a little button here with a little red light in the middle, so this flashes.
Exactly.
I need to get that on eBay.
You can raise
and another toy.
He's not going to raise his hand.
He'll raise his hand.
He'll put his finger on a button, which will raise a mechanical hand.
I need to put a finger on a button that raises a mechanical hand.
Right, exactly.
That's right. Well, that way we can move
click
that.
On cue. And,
right.
That's right. Well, if we get, or also we could wire everybody up with a little, with one of those little shocker things that they use.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
that's
no, that's
what I
right.
Want.
You have to understand.
So let's shock the engineer for the sound effect.
That's it. What a little taser. We have a little taser wired up here so that if you need a new sound effect, we'll
sure,
see what
perfect. I just get put a little clamp on each gonad there. I'll be all set up.
That's right. Lucky girls don't have any of those, too.
Right.
Hey,
what are you
all right, so the terminally
hey,
ill.
Tit girl. Hey, we've got some clamps for those.
So the terminally ill, here these people are dying. You know they're going to die.
Right, and they know they're going to die.
All medical evidence says...
You're dead.
You're dead.
That's right. You are walking. You are, you know, dead man or woman walking.
But give us that joint.
That's right. Give us that. Well, we talked about the joint, but we're talking...
Is that the kind of drugs they wanted, or did they
No. These are...
They wanted potentially life-saving drugs.
That's right. And, of course, what's so funny, and I say funny, not funny. Here's a person who's getting ready to die.
I say not funny.
But if somebody tells you you got 6 months to live,
somebody said you got 6 months to live.
Yeah, you got 6 months to live. And what?
No problem, baby.
6 minutes to live.
Six.
That's right. And of course, your kids come to comfort you.
Let me help you out with that diagnosis, Doc.
He's getting away. Stuff that
just
patient.
Just make sure you don't take the house with it because we're going to inherit that. Right. No, your kids come over with, and they spend a lot of time with you with comforting words like, "Dad, am I in your will?" That's it. No, we have those are comforting words you like to hear.
Dad, you want dinner, you got to sign this thing.
You got to sign this, Dad. Yeah, I know I'm on. I know it's
your autograph.
That's right. Of course, Burns be going, "Excellent."
So anyway, the thing is that they've got some crazy drugs that they maybe try, and you think about it, if you've got somebody give you 6 months to live, you do about anything.
You may survive, or it could turn you into a giant ogre.
That's right. Or it'll be like in...
Horrible, painful death. You've seen Itchy and Scratchy, right?
Yeah. How about you've seen Weird Science?
Yeah.
Chet. Remember when Chet was the...
Chet.
Chet was the big blurb. In the mountain of whatever he was. A fly eater. He was a fly eater in the kitchen. Do you remember that?
Yeah, barely. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was Weird Science. Kelly LeBrock.
I remember.
Well, I love Kelly LeBrock.
Oh, my God. I
tell
you,
what do you two little monsters want to do?
You say, we can't tell you.
We don't know.
Our brains are completely scrambled with horrible thoughts of what we want to do with you.
Oh, God. But that's priceless.
So, yeah, either.
So, anyway, the point is that they've got... they have some crazy drugs that might turn you into a green glob of who knows what. We don't know. But it may save you. And when you're willing to do anything. And so what they do is if you qualify, if you're one of the...
Yeah.
It might, in fact, turn you into a newt. But you're alive. That's
hey.
It. Hey.
You can have newt sex and, you know, eat bugs and whatever.
That's right. No, you think about it for a second. And so they've got some of these fancy schmancy drugs. And usually, if you qualify for the trial, they, of course, split you down the middle. And you don't know if you're getting the placebo or the.
I'd be gone, man. I'd be in some African country with no rule about what you can take.
Well,
No rule about what you can take. I want to take 4 of those cockroaches, 3 of those mountain cave spiders, and, you know, those synthetic drugs over there. Give me some gene therapy over here. I mean, what? You try everything. And a bottle of whiskey, and I mean, whatever.
And a straight razor.
Right. Whatever it is. And then, you know, the...
Well, I remember when Steve McQueen went down and took... The big deal was... peach, apricot pit juice or something, Laetril or something. It was a big deal. So, of course, it doesn't work worth a shit. But anyway, they want to try everything. The deal is that they are denying these people. The FDA, in its infinite wisdom, is saying, well, no, you can't try it. If you're one of the 90%, we're not going to give you a chance. We're not even going to give you a chance of a placebo. And of course, then we're going to find out. And the guy on the FDA, of course, is claiming this is saving lives. Never mind the fact that there are 10,000, you know, during the 10 years of trials on this stuff, you know, 100,000, 200,000 people die that may, we don't know, they may be a newt, they may be a glob of green, but they may live. And alive.
Okay, try the red one. Okay, that's done. It. Try the blue one. Okay, now let's try them both. Okay. All right, well, we'll keep having a try on this one.
Okay. Where's my husband? Here's your beehive, man.
Be careful with it.
We're going to make a new movie called... that movie with Jeff...
The Bee.
With Jeff, what's his name?
Goldblum or whatever.
Goldblum, the fly, only we're going to use real people this time. Right, we don't have to pay any money for Jeff. We're going to get...
No makeup artist required.
No makeup, that's right. This is going to be... makeup by, you know, pill.
Yeah, well...
And then you got the Homer Simpson, it's like, you know, or he comes out with a little tongue that goes, that's close enough.
Close enough. That was the best episode, yeah. I tell you. That was the toaster episode.
Yeah. Toaster, yeah.
The toaster time machine. But the deal is, though, they go through, let me just put my glasses on here real quick.
For 3,000 years, you ate what you ate because your mama told you that you did. And if the witch doctor came over and gave you the shaky,
eye of
shaky,
Newt and
yeah, whatever, you took that. But now we have central control,
right.
The central ministry.
Master control.
Central ministry of drug and food ingestion.
Mm-hmm. Well, not only that, when you're really hurting, you've got to get literally an act of Congress to get pain medicine these days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oxycontin,
amazing.
You know, they arrest the doctor if he prescribes too many pills because obviously he's a drug dealer.
Every adult American should have the absolute right to ingest.
I damn sure Vicodin and Coxycontin, as far as I'm concerned, and the price would go down.
Whatever it is, if you want to eat hemlock, knock yourself out. In my opinion,
literally,
right? Hey, go for it.
I understand that's pretty painful stuff. I'm not sure.
That stuff gives you the paralysis right beforehand, and then
really,
or maybe he took 2. I was recalling Socrates' suicide. But.
No, that was. But I mean, I somebody told me it was painful. But at least
you got every right to do it.
That is a painful one.
I want to go out like this, like the Saturday Night Live guys. You know, yesterday I was like bashing my thumb with this hammer, and it really hurt. You know, Billy Crystal and that was David St. Hubbins or whatever. You know, it was the Christopher Guest was his partner in that one from Spinal Tap, and of course from Lenny fame and Lenny and Squiggy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was actually, he was the other cop.
Do you know who narrated that? Did you see who narrated that Las Vegas thing?
No.
It was Harry Shearer.
Harry
Shearer.
From Simpsons fame. He does
voices.
He was also the bass player in Spinal Tap. He played Derek Smalls.
Yeah. Principal Skinner. If you think about it for a minute.
Oh, my gosh.
Las Vegas thing are you talking about?
We saw a special on
The special
Vegas
was on PBS last night, the night before. About it was, they had a, just like a 3 or 4 hour special or something on.
Killer.
Yeah, it was, they were talking about a lot of the history. They talked about the mob history as much as anything else, and then brought up pretty much to the Mandalay today.
Well, they started back in 1905 when it was just a little mule stop.
Right. Well, this is why, of course, I know that the reason for the documentary was because it was the 100th anniversary this year.
Right. This year.
It was 2005. Okay. Yes, 1905, 2005.
But we talk about freedom. That city was built on the idea of nobody's going to mess with you if you come out here in the desert.
That's right. That's right. And that was...
I wonder if you could get some terminally ill, could get some drugs out in Vegas.
Well, you could get the drugs. I don't think that's really. It's just that a lot of it's illegal.
You pay a lot of money for them.
Well, that's not. Well, of course, a lot of them are expensive. They along the same line, they had an article along exactly the same line. This girl's got this rare, what they call an orphan disease, and her pills cost something like $1,400 a day. And I guess $1,400 a week, maybe.
I'd rather have the access and have them cost $1,400 a week. I mean, that's fine. That's just a market thing. Of course, we have talked about if they didn't have patents, then you could have a dramatic drop off in the price.
One of the reasons that these orphan drugs, and this brings up a point that I think, I don't want to get off too much here, but we've talked about this before, and you're on one side, and I'm not sure. Let me put it this way. The government's on the other side, which is a little scary. Not scary, but you'd figure. The reason that this lady has access to this $1,400 a week or whatever it is, I think she says it's $600,000 a year is what her treatments cost to keep her alive. And
they're made out of unwanted children or something? Or
pardon me?
The drugs are made out of unwanted children? Or
no, but it's whatever it is. But it turns out that you are guaranteed a 100% 7-year patent exclusive monopoly from the time you start using the drug, of dispensing. In other words, the problem that the drug companies have is that the 14 years or whatever, 14 or 17 years or whatever patent runs, it starts when you announce it. And, of course, you've got maybe takes up to 10 years to get it out. And whereas these orphan drugs, they said, well, you can do all the testing you want, do everything. The clock doesn't start until you've already proved it, and now it's effective, and now you have 7 years of monopoly pricing. And apparently,
it's crazy.
Well,
that people talk about the AIDS drugs, all the problem with people in Africa can't get AIDS drugs. If they didn't have patent laws, you could rip them off. Everybody could copy them. The distribution would be met. The demand would be met.
Well, the question is, would the drugs have ever appeared without any financial incentive?
Without the R&D that necessary because they were projecting these profits and stuff. And the answer is maybe not. But if they really needed them, and they do need them, then yes, because the U.S. Patent Office is not the mother of invention. Necessity, of course, is the mother of invention. And just because you can't get a patent for it doesn't mean you're not going to try to find it. If AIDS is the big killer on the earth, people are going to try to find a cure. No matter what, they can sell the end result for. And believe me, even if it's just a marginal amount, they're going to do it.
Of course, it always...
Well, you wouldn't necessarily have to disclose what was in it.
Well, right. There would be more trade secrets. Right. There would be more formula secrets.
It's not going to get cleared by the FDA unless you tell them what's in it.
But if you didn't have the FDA in the way, then you'd be rocking. You know, then you'd be like, yes, take this. It will cure you. And it comes with a free Frogurt.
Frogurt is also cursed. But you get your choice of toppings.
Which is good. The toppings can stay in fossil fuel and benzene. That's bad.
Well, we've talked about them before, and we can talk about this. The point is that right now, they've said that because they have this monopoly pricing power on the orphan drugs, and they're all legal and everything, that apparently they've made it a little profit center. In fact, they're charging really big money.
Yeah. People are worried about the drug companies getting huge profits.
Well, they get it there. Well, again, the thing is, and this has to do with this oil gouging, oil that they want to do the windfall profits tax on the oil, the same kind of thing. The problem that you've got with drugs, of course, is the same thing you have with software. It's once you've done all the R&D, the pill itself, generally speaking, the ingredients cost you nothing, but you got to pay for that R&D. I mean, they'll tell you $500 million to bring the first one out. You got to make it back some way, and so you have to charge appropriately. Same thing with software. You know, Bill Gates. I mean, he's rich. Yes, okay, and it doesn't. You know, the CDs. Their software that I've downloaded. Think about it. It costs them zero, except for a little mega bandwidth, whatever it is on their server, and they're selling it for $30-$40. You think of it, $29.95, and $29.94 of that is profit. I mean, after you figure the, I'm serious. That, you know, on a down, even if they have to send you, if they have to send you the CD in the mail, the post office makes more than, you right. know, that
charges more than they
yeah,
that,
right.
Out,
I mean,
right.
that's yeah. Then the talk about packaging. The packaging costs more than what's inside,
right?
But if they, but you know, you get this thing and it's $59 or whatever, and as I say, 58 of it less the, is profit.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way it's supposed to work. I mean, you don't know
well,
how
the R&D costs for the drugs are definitely coming down in price as the people ramp up and build the technology. I mean, again, just the cost of the capital to produce the machines was great in the beginning, and the precision that was necessary was almost unattainable. Everything that rolled off was almost a prototype, and now that's becoming more of a commodity issue, and you're seeing lots of companies around the world that are being able to afford labs now that couldn't before.
My point is that if you dropped all patents and copyrights today, tomorrow you'd have to do something still. And your R&D department would have to do something, and you'd look for needs, and you'd try to solve them. Now, you may imagine that you wouldn't reap the profits that they're getting now, and that may be true. So maybe as much money wouldn't be invested in R&D, only they would take chances where they thought that there was definitely a chance of result.
Right.
Well, if that's the case, then we can imagine that today, huge amounts of money are wasted in R&D,
On pie in the sky. Yes, that's a good point. That is a good point.
And that's the invisible money we don't see.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about it that way, but you could very well be right. And that is it is all risk reward. And if your risk is that you can throw away this money and basically write it off or something like that, or tack it into the next one, you might take some really harebrained ideas where you might not otherwise. I when I think about the Edison going through inventing the light bulb, I mean, as he said, he went through thousands of different
human
things.
Human hair.
Everything. Right. I mean, and before he found the right one, the one that worked, actually, was economically feasible or whatever. I mean, certainly patented it, but I wonder what the result, I mean, how that...
Well, his motivation was he wanted to make it work.
Right.
It wasn't, I'm going to get rich off this thing. I mean, certainly, you know, he had money before that anyway.
Yeah.
But,
he was kind of a douchebag.
Oh, I like Edison.
Well, not in my opinion. But anyway, he was, in my opinion, he was a blue collar, try and hack it, make it any way you want, but totally unscientific in any of his approaches. And he totally squashed on, like, Nikola Tesla and some other people that were.
Well, he did that, but other than that.
Yeah.
I mean, he founded General Electric, and so there's no question. Look, everybody has their failings.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact is that he invented a lot of stuff. That was his goal. His goal was to invent a lot of stuff.
Right.
He had it. They called it the invention factory.
Right. Tesla had 785 patents or something like that, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's
absolutely incredible.
Well, they now, of course, they patent anything these days, which is, I think,
sure,
is a big mistake.
Sure, you see the freaking metal piece of... You know, metal clasp, and it's got patent number 3,474,000.
The metal clasp, actually, a lot of that. I what I'm thinking is more about the intellectual property stuff that they patent these days. I mean, when you look at the patents, for instance, that are on that are listed on when Adobe typeface or one of those things comes up, there's 40 different patents that are on there on the list that come up, and they're
that's scary.
I mean, it's just
flags go.
Yeah, me too. I'm with you on that. So anyway, that was my point on the we were talking about that stuff. That was it. I'm about done.
Whatever we were talking about.
Okay, listen.
It's all good.
Okay, send me an email and tell me what I was talking about.
Give the people the drugs.
That's right. Right. Give the dying. That's right. So fine. Done with that. The only other thing that I've got that is not exactly the same thing, but this has to do with some legal stuff. As long as we have our legal here, I saw where there's this Brit. Who was arrested in Austria because of something he said in 1989 that had to do... He said the Holocaust didn't occur.
Oops.
Yeah, and that's illegal in Austria. So you can't say that the Holocaust...
You can't deny the Holocaust.
You can't deny... That's what he'd done.
He walked off the plane and he's wearing a T-shirt that says Holocaust, you know, with a... Line.
No. Apparently what happened is he published a book in 1989, and when he got off the plane... Well, I think he
published a book that said...
It said there was no Holocaust, or it was very limited, or something like that. He's a known anti-Semite in England.
Which means he doesn't like Jewish people.
Yeah, right. And he was like a... He was a noted historian. He's written like 30 books and all this stuff. And his books are he might be noted because his history
his stuff is all skewed out.
You know, different kind of history.
Right.
Rewriting history has a new meaning here. Maybe I don't know. Yeah, but the point is, he got off the plane and they arrested him. And I what you said that he. Maybe he thought
he'd go into Australia.
He thought he was going to get off the plane.
I'm not a Faustus, mate.
Yeah. Hey, good day, mate. I'm not a Faustus. I mean, hell, this is an Alporest. I mean, you just think about it. I don't mean the guy was, you know, stupid, but I mean, you got to figure that if the plane flight was shorter than from out of England, if the plane flight was shorter than about 14 or 16 hours, you're probably in the wrong country. Anyway, they arrested him, and they're going to... They apparently can get up to 20...
We will give you a running start.
apparently, the charge... It's like 20 years. He can go to jail for 20
years. So he wrote a book in 1989.
Right.
He got on the wrong plane or something. Right.
We don't know why he...
He stepped off the plane, and they arrested him.
Clamped him in irons, and they're going to charge him with... That law that says you're not allowed to deny the Holocaust. There's a law that you are if you walk in this. Apparently, if you walk in,
they don't have a real big First Amendment there.
I guess not. And they did seem to think. What's interesting, they did seem to think that it was quite a long time ago, 1989. Of course, that's what 15. And I'm wondering, statute of limitations question. You know, don't know if they've got one, but I suppose you could always say, well, that's what I believed back then, and walk out of court. I would think you might be. I mean,
here in America, that's what you would have a statute of limitations.
I was working on this book on this napkin right here. It was recanting everything that I said.
Or... Yeah.
Well, no, like you say, you would have a statute of limitations because it that begins to toll when the crime is reported. That is to say, as soon as you wrote the book, if they had the opportunity to arrest you, I guess that's what they.
No, they didn't. They didn't.
So they would say, "Well, we didn't have the opportunity."
Right.
So.
That was this. Apparently, I'm guessing from the nature of this article, this is like. You know, oops, I got off in the wrong country. I mean, apparently he forgot. They didn't.
You know, over here, what you would have is protection by the First Amendment. You would hope that it's to say...
Oh, there's no question you'd have that for openers. But then, as you say, there's a statute of limitations on just about everything except, what, murder and what else? I mean, there's...
Any sexual crimes.
Sexual crimes, no statute of limitations. No, that's right, no statute. But other than that...
Well, there are, you know, I don't know, these days they're doing away with them more and more. If there's any severe violence in the state of Florida here... That kinds of stuff that gets really expanded.
Treason.
Yeah, treason, certainly, yeah.
Death penalty.
Sure.
Yep.
So that sucks. And, of course, that Australia had that girl that went over to that country that had a zero tolerance on pot or something. She had, like, you know...
Yeah, she had a big old pound in her surf bag.
Surf bag or whatever.
And they gave her 80 years or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Is she in jail?
Yeah.
Forever?
Well, we should check on that. She did go to prison.
Yeah.
They sent her, and of course, in that country, prison is like a big open yard, and they just throw you in. And,
right. And she's most a hot
people,
chick, too.
Yeah, and most people die in prison relatively quickly. And she is a hot chick, or was.
Yeah, it was.
Maybe we could get some Jimmy Doan aficionados here and go rescue her if she's that hot.
Seriously.
Get a couple of guys. You
she
know,
is smoking.
Yeah?
It'd be great. It'd be nice to hire a little mercenary group or something.
Well, no, we... hire Schmeier. What are you talking about? We can go over and make the attempt ourselves.
Well, that's one of the things I advocate for all these problems that we have around the world. Instead of the United States going in, you should be able to just arm up,
pick up your
get your buddies... And go
there
over there
and make it happen.
That's it.
Impress me, man.
That's it. You don't like what they're doing over there? You suit up and go over there.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I mean, hey. Then, of course, it's a private effort.
Well, they have those. I mean, they have Soldiers of Fortune. You could buy Soldiers of Fortune.
Yeah, I think it's illegal, though, for U.S. to participate in that kind of stuff.
Oh, bullshit. Really?
I think so. Yeah, I think
U.S. citizens, you mean?
Yeah, I think the president's in charge. He's the commander-in-chief. And we do it as a whole.
You could certainly go over there and hire yourself out like some Prussian.
I don't think. I mean, you can, but I don't think it's like totally legal. You may be able to join other groups.
You can do that because they did it before. I mean, they had Americans flying in the Canadian British Air Force in the Second World War. I knew that. I mean, they were a lot of those people that before the United States went into the thing, and they had a lot of that stuff.
What about the other girl that we were talking about before the show? She got that we talked about on another show. The sex mom, the cool mom.
She got 30 years.
Yeah, 30 years.
for she would and
tell
she
the
was,
story real quick.
She was I don't have it in front of me, but she was apparently having she wanted to be a cool mom, so she had these basically parties at her house where she I guess buy kegs and whatever
sex drugs and alcohol
and had sex and drugs and alcohol with these 15-year-old 16-year-old kids or whatever, and then she got popped, and I saw her on the news the other day.
Sylvia Johnson, 41, of Arvada, Colorado.
Damn, that's too bad.
Arvada, whatever it is. Yeah. Arvada, I don't know. Maybe Gene can tell us how to pronounce that. Anyway, hello, Gene. And and Gino, too.
Got a note and Gino, from,
and
that's
we got
right.
A, Gene and Gino. And mm-hmm. we got a note. Want to say hello to Use People. That's great. Use Peoples. So she was, it's counts of two misdemeanor counts of sexual assault, 9 felony counts of contributing to delinquency of minor. That was the delinquency of minor. 9 felony counts. 30 years.
Right.
And she provided them with drugs, alcohol, 8 boys, and had sex with 5 of them.
She almost got the whole house.
Over what period of time?
Yeah, I don't know. Johnson was...
Was it all in one night? Was it like, you know...
No. Almost weekly between October 2003 and 2004. 52 weeks.
Yeah.
52 times. So those guys had a great time, didn't they, man?
That'd been a cool place
Ooh,
to hang out.
Who ratted it out?
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody dropped the ball there, man.
Somebody dropped the bong.
Yeah, man.
I'll tell you on that one.
Yeah. Give me the lightsaber on that one, man.
That's it. No, that's...
That's awful. That's too bad for the mom.
That's too bad. 41. She got 30. She'd be 71 years old. She can be weasel.
Hopefully they'll change that law and somebody will give her clemency, the governor or something.
That's, you know, that now that's something. If I was governor, boy, I'd be clemencing the piss off of things.
Definitely.
I'd be going through there. You get it. You get it.
All the nonviolent drug possession. Man, well, of course, she'd be...
You just walk through like Lars from the heavy metal only. You'd be like anti Lars, you know, like you live, she lives, everybody lives.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'd like to be one of those things. Maybe when it can get one of those kids, you know, here in Florida when they have the legislative day where they let the high school kids go up there and you get to be governor for a day.
Yeah.
Boy, I wonder if you run.
Unpassive.
So I am the governor right now.
Okay, let's
right?
go on. Yeah, okay. I'm heading on down to the jail. You get out. How much money you got? How much money you got? I'm going to make government pay for me in one day.
You just moonwalking around the state.
That's it.
All right, what do we got for light notes? Have we got anything else?
We got anything for heavy notes? You guys got no more heavy notes, or we're doing light notes?
No, that's it. I'm done.
Okay, all right, we'll bang this out. Interesting thing from some unpronounceable city in Japan.
Wait, here, I can put that.
Yeah, you can do that.
It's Utsunomiya.
Utsunomiya.
Is that what it is?
Utsunomiya.
You can look at it.
Utsunomiya.
You got to look at mine.
Well, I was just wondering if, of course, you know, we got American cars. A lot of American guys here are nuts over Asian girls. I wonder if our cars would like to talk to these Asian cars. I mean, it says they talk to each other. Do they like fornicate in the middle of the highway there? Or what are they doing?
Baby, I love your
what
paint
it is,
job.
Is you can link them together,
so to speak,
so that for
Do
example,
they have like male cars and female cars. Or?
Well,
they're. I mean, of course, Japan is definitely cranking in the technology department. What they're doing here is actually they're doing like a full scale test to see. Cars talking with other cars and motorcycles, as well as intersections and stoplights.
No, it's like a vehicle avoidance the airplanes
exactly.
have.
Exactly. So, in other words, a motorcycle comes whizzing up, and then you all of a sudden hear a warning in your car saying, you know, it's a
pull up, pull up, pull up.
Yamaha 600 coming at whoop 5, you know, left hand side, right hand side, or whatever.
Look out!
Look out! You know, that would be cool. I wonder if the warnings are going to sound like that when we get them over here. You'll buy a Toyota car.
That's right. Well, konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa.
That's right.
Take hard ref, you stupid American.
You're going to be inaudibly late.
So what is the guy on the motorcycle here?
Hit the brake, you stupid evil Knievel.
I was just riding along and my motorcycle just it saw this jump over here and just went all by itself.
All by itself.
And just did this jump.
And
So they're talking about literally. I mean, they're going to integrate it into the car's computer too, basically.
Well, this is the same kind of thing they supposedly have in airplanes right now, right? The crash avoidance.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what they call it, but right. they transponder back and forth, and they what they call it in the old days, IFF, identification friend or foe.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have the placement, all it computes with the satellites, I guess, and everything where you are,
mm-hmm.
how fast you're going, your altitude. Of course, the nice thing about roads, I guess, is you're pretty much on the same level, generally speaking. Of course, one of the things that would be funny is if the altitude calculations are a tad off, and let's say you go over an underpass or something, and one guy's on the overpass, and hit the brakes! You know, and it's just that you're going to miss him by 3 feet anyway. So
back to the age of the spiritual machines, it eventually could literally be to the point where you know, everything could be voice activated with a touch screen. It
I'll tell you how it's going to be within 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to drive.
Right.
You're not going to drive. All the people who are driving, you having fun right now? It's not going to be around.
Buy yourself a speeding
red
track.
Barchetta or something.
Well, this is going to give me, like in Caddyshack, you know, be the ball. Is this, you be the car?
Right.
Be the car.
Well, you'll just
so when you're 50 years, you are the car.
Right, no.
Actually, you're not. You're just a piece of lumpy flesh sitting in the car.
You're a bag of
the
mostly
car is
water.
The car.
You're a large,
you're
bag.
An ugly bag of mostly water.
Yeah. and what you do is you go out into your garage and you get into your box and you tell it the library, and your garage door opens up and it scoots out the back and then it takes off and it gives
literally
it, yeah and yeah, well, that would be cool. And hopefully we'll get a little anti-grav between now and then it will be
good luck on that one.
So anyway, they were referring to things like you will be able to determine which gas stations have gas, which prices, that type of thing, who's open.
This is on the currently today.
Yeah. Well, this is what they're testing.
This is what they're doing. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
So,
of course, Japan, the whole country's, you know, like the half the size of Florida or something. I mean, it's
I don't know.
I like the thing where you can the car in front of you can drive the car in back.
Yeah, I like that part too.
The pacing. It does auto pacing, so
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, they're practicing that in California, but they have these magnets that they sunk into the highway, and it just seems to me that it's awful waste of magnets. Like they should.
I didn't run that red light. I was attached to the car in front.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
It was no, that's,
they are talking about hackers being able to get in and do some manipulation.
You think?
A little
virus in there or something like that. All the
bus goes careening into a school or something.
That's right.
Right. What happens is some kid is home sitting with his play joystick, and he wires it, check this out, man. And like he's got the big Greyhound bus just driving it through the mall, you know. And
he's driving the real Greyhound bus.
That's what they did on... that's what they did on
Speed.
No. That
Blues
was,
Brothers would be the would
well.
Be
no,
the movie.
Wasn't that?
That would be the arcade game version.
That would be the arcade game version. And
that was what's his name in not in Weird Science, but in yeah. What no in the one where the Whopper. What was that? What was that one?
War Games.
Yeah. Right. He was playing a game.
Right.
And then he was playing the Whopper.
And then he turned it off.
Right.
And the threat went away.
Would you like to play?
Shall we play a game?
That was another classic movie.
Classic movie, War Games. I ran into some people that had never seen it. I was like, what? I mean, meeting people that haven't seen Star Wars. Absolutely out of your mind. Ooh, I'm getting all my Star Wars watches today.
Your what?
I got my buddy Charles to get me all the Star Wars watches
with
the holograms in them. Yeah.
All right, good for you.
Some rock and roll. Yeah, I was like, oh, I'm a Star Wars.
Well,
watches.
I'll tell you, the showstopper, of course, is your Simpsons watch.
Oh yeah, those are awesome. Well, you got me those too.
That's I mean, there are people that I would not believe are just stunned when they hear that watch.
Oh, it's a total icebreaker.
Oh my God,
I've had people just stop me and say, okay, I got to see your watch, you know, because it's all kind of colorful and stuff.
That's incredible.
And they all have a different little saying. I like the one that goes, are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Are we there yet?
So anyway, buy the book Age of Spiritual Machines and don't worry about the next 25 years because you'll probably be a piece of silicon at that point in time.
That's right.
Okay, Irish nursing
silicon
home.
Silicon dick.
Irish nursing homes keeps spirits up with own pub.
I've thought that this should be something. They have stopped in Ireland. They're quitting all the smoking, which is unbelievable because every place is a pub. But I've often thought that you should have pubs like that. It would be...
Sure, man. I mean, this goes along with our give them whatever they want. They're dying.
It seems little enough to ask. You put your time in. You've been here all this time. You want
Seriously,
to
you put
got
your time in. You made it this far. And now these young whippersnappers are denying you.
Put ants in your eyes or something.
I mean,
you know?
Seriously, this stuff you discovered when they weren't even born yet.
That's right. Right.
And now they're going to tell you what to do.
Yeah.
Ugh.
That is unbelievable.
Wait, I need my...
Okay. Got him.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's it is it is unbelievable.
Machine gun one I had from last week.
Home editing.
That's from my Tommy gun I saved from the WW2.
Yeah.
When you weren't even a figment.
That's right.
Yeah, I tell you
what. And they're telling you what to do.
And of course, we got him here in town. One of our commissioners is doesn't shave yet, you know, telling the people, the old farts here in town what to do. I mean, you just think, don't have any experience. And of course, a little power is a dangerous thing. This is right out of Lord Acton.
Need to take away that majority voting needs to become super majority voting or something.
On a lot of the stuff. And it is interesting because on some of the stuff, it does require a super majority to raise the taxes. And nicely, it doesn't require a super majority to lower them, which is smart, which is good. Maybe
well,
a super minority
they need to adopt
could
that and several other issues then.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
How about this one? The town adopts name Dish for free satellite TV.
I was thinking we ought to change the name of this town to Jack
Pussy.
Daniels.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I am. I'm an engineer.
No, okay. Let's take a vote. There you go.
Playboy, Florida.
Yeah. Exactly.
Three right. Bunnies
well, you know, we
for
have,
a year,
we have,
a decade.
We have a place down here called Sefner, which what? Wouldn't be much. Sefner, Florida.
What's a Sefner?
It's a town.
Is it?
Believe it or not, Sefner, Florida is where Big Daddy Don Garlitz was born, but I mean, that's down near Tampa. But we could have Hefner.
Oh, right. Hefner, Florida.
Hefner, Florida would be kind of good. We could,
right. Well, or, you know, Playboy, Florida or whatever.
Yeah,
you
know, exactly. Good. No, we can think of a lot.
Hustler, Florida.
Hustler. Good. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. Or we could actually, what we could do is have like an annual, maybe the Playmate of the Year change, you know, and they could maybe we could get her in here for a year or something like
that. Well, this is a decade. They're going to give them a decade of free Dish to every house. I figured we'd get a decade of free bunnies in every house.
This is, I can handle that.
Yeah.
There's just about enough. Of course, some of them now are getting a little weasened.
But some of the guys around here are a little weasened, too.
That's true. You know? That's true. No, that's true. That's true.
You know. Well,
that's true. No, well, they could. I'll tell you, some of those, you know, Miss April 55.
Right.
She might be able to teach these college kids a thing or two. Like how to run.
I'm out of here.
No, there's...
No, well, think about it. Miss April 55 was born in
1955? No.
she's born in, like, 1935 40. Or 40.
Right.
Yeah. And so, do the math. Okay.
Well, I mean, so Mr. Guy was born in 35 has got him, you know, the guy was born, like, 1906 has got him spring chicken.
That's right, spring chicken. That's right, he's 99. She's a spring chicken of 66.
Dude, he's bugging on
hey,
that.
Hey, baby.
Ooh, yeah. So anyway, that was it. But I did actually, it was kind of funny, a while back, I did stay in the other town that they mentioned that did change its name. There was a town.
Truth or Consequences.
Yeah, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. And they changed it that was a game show.
Right.
That people had.
But I mean, they didn't change it to Truth or Consequences was the... They didn't change that for the name of the game show, right?
No. Yeah, they did.
No.
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, and I've got...
Wait, no, that's not true. It was Truth or Consequences before the game show was here.
No, I've got to read you the thing. I just lost my place.
Wait a minute, are you telling me... I thought the Truth or Consequences had been around for 100 years.
No.
You're telling me that...
I heard the same thing he did, but I thought...
Back in the 1950s, Hot Springs, New Mexico was renamed Truth or Consequences, New Mexico after a popular quiz show.
No kidding.
During the dot-com boom of 2000, Halfway Oregon agreed to become Half.com for a year.
Right. I heard that.
Yeah. But anyway, no. Truth or Consequences New Mexico changed its name.
Okay.
After a popular quiz show. And it's kind of funny because our tour bus actually broke down in Truth or Consequences New Mexico. And I was just like, who in the hell would name your town?
Well, there's a lot of stranger names than that. I mean, in this
well, it was. I don't mean to say it was a small town, but it's like I was with a rock band and we all had long hair and... I don't mean to say we stood out like a sore thumb, but like everywhere we went, because our tour bus was there, they go, you must be in the band. That must be your bus. I mean, like every single person we ran into, they knew exactly. We couldn't get away with anything in that town if we wanted to.
Yeah, yeah. You can imagine. You go in there and you do.
We might as well be painted in glowing green paint, you know.
like out of Mars Attacks, you'd look like those people.
Oh, I mean, they've never seen a rock band in their life.
I like the story when the big Texan asked your lead singer to dance.
Oh, God, that was classic. Yeah, I got to tell this story
you,
real
sir,
quick.
But
I'm a guy. He walked up by this big old Texan, walked up behind our lead singer, and because we all had long hair, and he thought he was a girl. And he walks up, darling, you want to dance? Jeff turns around and goes, I'd love to, but I'm a guy. that guy about, he'd never seen a guy with long hair before.
Oh, my God. I mean, this is like 15 years ago.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I remember when I mean, 30, 40 years ago, long hair was, no, you know, in the 60s, when I was doing the 60s thing, the long hair was, there were hippies. I mean, they always had them pictured with flies hanging around them and stuff like that.
Well, it's in certain places.
We went into a pawn shop, and they had, like, TVs that were still black and white.
Yeah.
And they had, like, you know, the rounded corner ones
right.
And the big, yeah, that was, like, their most advanced models.
I see.
It was definitely a trip back in time.
Yeah, their color TV. You like two colors?
That's true. Okay, so that was that. And then how about this one? Nah, firm fights to sell moon real estate.
Now, this is a Chinese firm. No, it's a U.S. firm.
It's a U.S. firm, and they're opening their Chinese.
We talked about this.
We might have.
We said we wanted those. We were going to get those Chinese guys to bring back the Nixon's flag and stuff when they landed on the moon.
Yeah, yeah, but that's a different thing. These guys are actually selling real estate on the moon. What we were talking about before was China just going to the moon.
Right.
Yeah.
So I say they can sell it all they want so long as they mark it off.
Well, they're supposed to give you a little deed and all this stuff, but what happened was that the Chinese government barged right in and shut them down.
What? Why? How? On what rights? What grounds?
As far as I'm concerned.
The Chinese suspended their business license on October 28th, just days after it opened. And let's see.
No, wait. Look at this straight. This was a bunch of U.S. entrepreneur types that went to China.
That's right.
And they're trying to cut a deal with the Chinese rocket.
Yeah, Lunar Embassy to China.
Yeah, Lunatic Embassy, yeah.
They sold 49 acres of lunar land to 34 Chinese clients within 3 days of opening.
There it is. Sold it to Chinese. Those gullible Chinese people, yeah. Right? Okay.
Well, they sold.
It's fraud, basically.
Well, they've sold lots here in the U.S. and they're still operating in the U.S. They operate in like 10 different countries.
Well, that's great, but a property implies control,
right?
And so, you know, theoretically, I mean, I could sell you a whole bunch of stars right now if you want,
right? And they do
a billion,
and they
apiece.
Do,
and they do.
Well,
not these people, but other people.
My
do.
Point is that there's nothing to prevent anybody else from selling it. There's nothing to prevent anybody from controlling it or doing anything about it.
Well, the control is not just
black it out. I mean,
let me put it this way. First of all, it is kind of a cute little thing that they've got up on their website. I went up there, and you get a nice certificate and all this doctor stuff. It gives you the longitude and latitude of your thing. They're only selling spots, I guess, that face Earth, and they're not selling off like the spots of the lunar lander modules and things like that. And then they don't guarantee you they sell the property in like a row by row thing. So if you buy like 5 or 6 acres, they'll all be like in a line next to each other, but you can't. And they do sell a city, like a city block for like $5,500 or whatever, quote unquote. Now you're right. Now here's the deal, enforcement. Well, probably be kind of tough to enforce it right now. Now let me ask you a question. Well, think about it this way: in 50 or 70 years, let's assume that we do actually find a viable way to get back to and fly on the moon. What happens then?
Then it's enforceable.
Then it's enforceable.
Right.
And that's what they're anticipating, obviously.
Right. That's their whole... So from a legal standpoint,
The problem is that nobody owns what you can't control.
Right.
And so until somebody goes up there and physically plants some little markers in the ground...
Right.
Or until somebody offers the plane flight, then it's anybody's...
You could sell it all you want, but until you actually go up there... Or you go up there... Here's the deal. You go up to the moon and you say, this is one of those latitude, and you say, this is mine. You go up there and you say... And you mark it off.
Right.
You know, you take a little yellow marker or whatever it is, or one of those things that runs down the middle of the street,
right.
And you mark off, and some guy comes up to you and says, well, that's mine. You say, yeah, fine. You know, F you. You know, whatever.
Right.
I mean, it's not.
But if you go up there, if I own a whole bunch of that stuff, and you go up to the moon and put your yellow marker across all my property, what the hell am I going to do about it?
When you come
we're
back,
we're going to have a big lunar fight. Well, and then there'll be blood all over the moon. Yeah, and there'll be, you know, the first moon deaths occur today between the McHatfields and McCoys when they're fighting over their lunar mine prospect. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be great fun. I want to see it all happen. You know, then it'd really be red moon.
Well, you know, they're going to have to agree on it sometime because, yeah, of course, like you said. I mean, some people
eventually
don't want, people don't want to put reflectors up there, right, and other types of electronics.
Well, there's a lot of stuff up there for they're talking about getting a bunch of helium-3, and helium-3 is a fusionable material that could actually supply a tremendous amount of energy with no radioactive.
Where's this helium-3?
Well, helium-3 occurs naturally on the moon because there's no atmosphere, and it blows off the sun. And it collects, and so the moon rocks had helium-3 in it when they brought them back, and so the thing is, helium-3 is like a super great material to use for doing fusion reactions because it's already made, you know, it's the fuel is already made and it's sitting there.
Cool.
And so what they want to do is they want to figure out. They actually had talked about going up there and mining it, and again, if there's water and things like that, then you know that'd be interesting.
They do seem
to
think there's some water up there too.
Yeah. So again, that would be nice to have your prospecting land. Now they claim that they wouldn't sell you quote unquote the land that was next to a crater that had water in it. But you know, again, you got your
how are they gonna know?
Yeah, you've got your little protection system.
Yeah, what? And you talk about these reflectors. You know, if anybody gives you any crap, you put a reflector up there when the next spaceship shows up. You know, you do one of those little focusing.
Well,
things.
you get your little laser,
green laser,
and you shine it in their eyes, and then you know they have a hard time landing.
It is. What are they? Of course, they say that has a range of what, a mile or two or something like that. The green ones. They arrested one kid. On the moon,
right,
it's got to be. You got to be able to. I would think that, like, as soon as they get out of the Earth's atmosphere, you could zap them.
Boy, could you imagine how pissed off the country would be if you got your little Stinger missile up there and you just whipped out their spaceship, you know? And then, like, I mean, you just destroyed their whole.
You just set your robot defense system.
Right. You know, who's coming after you? But it's going. At some point in time, I'd imagine it's going to be.
Okay,
an issue.
Need to work on that. Erase the last from the rest of your mind there, kids, because we're going to work on this. So we can own a piece of the moon.
Right. And if you have any one other thing on the moon is if you had a big enclosed space, you could actually fly because you'd only weigh 1/6. So if you had like even a small little pair of wings and stuff like that, you could actually fly from one side of your house to the other and flap around like a bird.
I don't know why the flapping would do you any good.
Because you have oxygen. Yeah. I mean, you have...
Oh, in your room.
In your room.
Okay,
in your
right.
enclosed area.
So you make
well, of course, the,
a big,
of course, the other thing...
Big top.
But the other thing that would become practical would be travel cannons.
What's a travel cannon?
It's when you load yourself into a spring-loaded thing there and you aim it at a certain thing and you can... No, I mean, seriously, it would be very gentle. I mean, you would have to, you know, maybe accelerate it up 2 or 3 G's.
Right.
And you could probably fire yourself 40, 50 miles.
Wow.
On the moon and then land reasonably soft.
Right.
When you think about it, on the moon, 1/6 of the weight, you know, travel would be, you know, like, I'm going to go over to Janie's house and it's 2 miles away. And you just elevate down to here. You know, the calculations would be a snap.
Right.
Kaboom.
Well, and also you could just get into a...
land right on her bed.
You could just get into a you could travel...
Incoming!
You probably wouldn't need wings. You could just travel in a tube with some rushing air. You know, just like a little bit of rushing air would lift up you at your current size with the weight.
Yeah, you're 1/6 weight, so.
So, yeah, so you're.
You can wear a little scuba tank, you'd have a jetpack, but it would actually work.
Right.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
No, and as I say, you could do a spring thing, or else you could dress like the Michelin man, you know, the Michelin tire guy.
Right,
and you could just.
just
kaboinga around the place. I mean, you just, you know, it'd be nothing.
Right.
I mean, that would be, you know, you could live. Living large, as they say.
I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I only have one little piece of extra one here.
Okay.
Bird nearly ruins Domino's record attempt.
Oh, my God. Now, that was the Domino's pizza?
No, this is the Domino's that when you those little games that you play and you line up these little chips and then you... and then you knock them over, and they go, and then they all fall
right,
down.
Well, they were trying to set a world's record, right?
Yeah, 23,000. Sparrow knocked over 23,000 dominoes in the Netherlands, nearly ruining a world record attempt before it was shot to death Monday.
They're supposed to be setting up. It takes them, like, months.
They're
to
setting
set
up 4 million dominoes in attempt
4 million
to break the official
in, like,
Guinness
and it takes
record.
Them, like, 2 or 3 months to set this up, right?
Yeah, it said weeks.
2 or 3 weeks is all?
Well, they had employees of a television company had worked for weeks setting up more than 4 million dominoes.
More than 100 people.
Right.
Okay, but now it's obvious until they get ready to go that they've got fire breaks in this
right.
thing. I mean, they must be
They have 750 built-in gaps, and that's the only thing that prevented the bird from knocking most or all the dominoes over ahead of schedule.
So anyway, the bird comes in and flies in this wherever this place, this big Colosseum or whatever it is, you know, the Netherlands Dome or whatever it is, the Holland Dome, and you know, dings on a couple of these dominoes
right.
and.
Right.
You know, and 23, and probably hit 2 or 3 different places.
Sure.
Knocked down 23,000 of them,
mm-hmm.
and somebody pulls out a BB gun or something and plugs the bird. Kapunga! And shoots the bird dead. And, of course, the Dutch authorities run in there and what? Cruelty to animals and arrested these people, right?
Right.
And so they're going to jail? These people are going to jail right after?
Did you hear?
I think the guy's charged.
Yeah, they're charged. And I, you wonder if it's, of course, this is the PETA people. You think about what rights did the sparrow have, you know? And
right.
Apparently a lot.
Yeah. Of course, the other thing is if it was, I would wonder, of course, you might want to, as the argument, as a defense, I would argue that the sparrow was probably an undocumented alien from another country.
Well, I'll tell you
and
what I would
and
argue.
And such didn't have any rights.
I would argue that the sparrow was breaking the law, committing criminal mischief. That is to say, if the sparrow was a person, we're going to treat it like a person. They'd treat it like a person all the way around. The sparrow would have been breaking the law if the person came in there and started kicking over dominoes in different places and kicked over 23,000 dominoes.
You
put him in jail.
Well, but would you have the right to hit him with a BB gun? Sure, why not?
Well, you do the what you do is you'd put him in jail and you'd prevent them from doing the stuff.
Right.
You know, them
but I mean, this was like vigilantism of these people actually shooting this poor sparrow.
Well, it's true. I think that that's the only.
I mean,
way
if it had been a person,
of.
If it had been a person, let's say a real small person that could fly,
uh-huh.
and
you shot him,
and you shot him. Well, I mean, yeah, and you shot him. You'd
well,
be
here's the thing.
Attempted manslaughter or something.
Well, here's the thing: what you would do is, if it was a real small person, you could reason with them. That is to say, you could stop them.
Okay, and they say, and they said, "Oops." That their response was, oops.
The thing is that you can't prevent the sparrow. There's no other way to prevent the sparrow from knocking over the dominoes. I suppose they could catch it. Or I saw somebody's suggestion was sedate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, oh.
Yeah, sedate it, right.
I've got my sparrow sedation kit right here.
Yeah, when I was growing up, they always said you could always catch a bird if you could put salt on its tail. That would always let you catch a bird. And I thought, so I would go out there and with buckets of salt and throw it, you know, at the bird and say, well, now, what the hell? Why couldn't I catch that bird anyway? And it wasn't until I got to be like 30 that I realized the joke. Oh, you mean if you get that close, then you can get the...
You know, I mean, poor sparrow and everything, but come on. I mean, these people have spent hundreds of hours doing this stuff. I mean, it's...
This is the Netherlands, and maybe the sparrow was smoking some good dope or something, because that's Netherlands, right?
The people who wrote the law were...
Yeah, that's right. This all going out of the smokehouse. Smokehouse has a new meaning, of course, in the Netherlands.
They call them coffee shops.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course, they don't sell any coffee.
No, that's right. Well,
do they have coffee?
They have coffee. But the reason they call them coffee shops is because...
the coffee shop.
That's what they mean.
Well, the cannabis cup is like this week.
What is the cannabis cup?
Jack Rhodes should be here to explain this. The cannabis cup is an international competition to develop the strongest, best tasting, and other potency measures of marijuana.
So everybody's
held where?
It's always held in Holland, in Amsterdam. So right now in Amsterdam, there's hundreds of people, thousands of people.
Hundreds of stoners.
Thousands of the biggest stoners on earth.
Can you imagine the class, just walking through that town?
Yeah.
I mean, you just, seriously, you walk through and
neighboring cities are like driving half as fast.
I mean, you just, you know, I would love to have the Lay's potato chip franchise.
And a Twinkie franchise.
I mean, can you imagine?
A Twinkie has a table at the convention over there.
A Twinkie does?
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Well,
everybody does.
Everybody sells munchies, you know, has got to be.
Do they have a webcam we can sign on to?
Oh, I'm confident. I'm guarantee you they have an Amsterdam webcam.
Okay.
There's people blowing smoke into it.
If any of you listeners out there find a good one, email us at jimmy@jimmydone.com so we can dial it up.
Yeah. We can put it on our website.
Absolutely. We'll put a link on there.
We can put a link on
there. Absolutely.
Maybe update it every 30 seconds or something like that. As the cloud floats over Amsterdam. Queen Beatrice or whatever. She's a... They have a queen, you know.
The Princess of Monaco. Do they have the...
Yeah, no, you know it's a monarchy.
Oh, yeah. No, I thought you meant a bud queen or something.
No, well, I'm sure you know. Yeah. But that's right. You think about Budweiser
the
beer.
The cannabis queen.
When they talk about bud over there, have a bud over there, they're not talking about the beer.
Well, no, that's Heineken. They got Heineken over there.
That's right. This bud's for you. This is they're talking something else other than beer.
As Jack Rhodes would say, I'm going to go home and smoke some pot. Everybody said that at the... the Harvest Fest.
Oh, in the mic?
Yeah. Into the mic.
Well, I love it. You know,
we had a great time here.
That was awesome.
What was it? Of course, the Rolling Stones, you know, when they did their the introduction to Under My Thumb. Hello, Hampton. Hello, Virginia. I hope you're having a good time there smoking a few joints at home.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's off that live album.
That's
a
live album. It's great. You ready to go?
Yeah, I am.
Let's
ready?
Go. Yeah, right. We're ready. Thank you all. Hope you had a good workout. And this should be up here in a day or two when Eric gets mixing it, I guess.
I'll mix this one.
Okay, you're going to mix this one good.
I got that mojo.
We should be back in a go. Yeah, got that mojo working. If you have any questions or comments, don't forget to rugulate us. Send us an email at jimmy@jimmydone.com.
Also, rate us on the podcast. There's a lot of podcasts that don't have any ratings for us.
Oh, so, did you see one of the podcast places for sale?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I forget which one it is. The guy's bailing. Hey, you can buy it for like a couple $100. You can buy his site and everything.
And also, I've noticed that sometimes the XML feed or the RSS feed isn't updated on the podcast directory. So if you found us through one of those places, make sure you just come back to jimmy@jimmydone.com or jimmydone.com, sorry, to listen to make sure that our most current show is posted, because it gets posted on our site first, then the feed picks up. Sometimes it takes a day or two to do that.
Yeah, I know. It can take a lot longer.
It can be a lag. Yeah, it can take up to a week sometimes, depending on the place. I know it's podcast app, and that's one of the worst.
Is that right?
Yeah. Some of the other places are real quick, though.
All right. Well, anyway, thank you all for listening. As I say, hope you had a good workout or a good drive if you were driving somewhere. And we'll have more news updates for you in the next show. Goodbye, bye, bye.